Today's message is titled, What Sacrifice Are You Bringing? What sacrifice are you bringing? Well, first of all, let's find out exactly what is a sacrifice. And according to the Merriam-Webster dictionary definition, it's an act of offering to a deity something precious, especially the killing of a victim on an altar. It's also the destruction or surrender of something for the sake of something else, something given up or lost. For example, the sacrifices made by parents. Another example that we could look at today is the sacrifice that those who are in our military, the men and women that are in our military, the sacrifices that they make to help preserve the freedom of our nation, our way of life. It's a sacrifice. The word for sacrifice is first mentioned in the King James Version in Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. Now, I think a lot of people thought, well, I thought back there with Cain and Abel. When he went, but that's not what it was called. If you will look, you will find it was called an offering. Minkah, offering, present, gift, oblation, sacrifice, meat. That was the first word that was used in Genesis chapter 4, verse 3, where it says, and in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground in an offering unto the Lord. It was called an offering. And we will find as we go throughout Scripture here that these two words become somewhat interchangeable at times, sacrifice and offering. The next example that we find is zabach, offering, sacrifice. Genesis chapter 31, verse 54, then Jacob offered sacrifice upon the mount and called his brethren to eat bread, and they did eat bread and tarried all night in the mount. And if you're familiar with this portion of Scripture, for those who are not, this is where Jacob was making a covenant between himself and his father-in-law, Laban, not to do harm to one another. And if you go back and read that story and you find out, you know, as Jacob had gone in and he was promised one bride if he would work 7 years, he worked 7 years. They had the wedding ceremony, and when the veil was removed, lo and behold, it wasn't the bride he was expecting. So he had to work another 7 years to get the bride he wanted. And then after that, there was a period of time, and finally it came time for Jacob to go back home. And daddy-in-law wasn't really too thrilled about it. But here they make a covenant between one another that they will not bring harm to one another. So they offered a sacrifice to show that they were going to uphold this covenant that they were making with one another. The other word that's used is olah, burnt offering, burnt sacrifice. And we read a lot about burnt sacrifices in the Scripture, where they offered a burnt sacrifice, but the priest offered a burnt sacrifice in Kings, where Elijah goes up on Mount Carmel, he offers the burnt sacrifice, the God that answers by fire. The sacrifice was burnt up. That's the word that's used there. And here we find it first in Genesis chapter 22, verse 2, where, and it says, and he said, now, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Here Abraham is being told by no less than Yahweh God to take his only son, the son that's been promised to him, take him up on this mountain and sacrifice him. Can you imagine if God spoke that to your heart? What would you do? Stop to think about it. I have a good idea that we'd probably really do some serious discussion with God about that. You know, God, is this really you? I mean, you know, this doesn't sound right, Lord. You know, you got to give me a little bit more than this. But Abraham was obedient. believed that God would provide, because if you recall the story, as they're going up to the mountain and they're carrying the firewood and everything, Isaac asked him, "Hey, Dad, where's the sacrifice? Aren't we forgetting something? Where's the sacrifice?" What was Abraham's words? "The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide." Abraham believed that since God had fulfilled his promise and given him his son, this son Isaac, in his old age, that God would still fulfill his word to make his seed as the sand of the sea, the stars of the sky, and however God chose to do it, God would fulfill it. And I've got to let you know, sometimes God doesn't always do things the way we think he should do it. In fact, a good portion of the time, he doesn't do it the way we think he should do it. "Well, God, I think you should really do this way. Now, this way would really be the best way, Lord. This way. And God over here knows what's going on in the future. He knows what's gone on in the past, and he knows what is best in our life. And sometimes he may ask us to perform a sacrifice which we don't really quite understand why we have to go through it or why we have to do it. So a burnt sacrifice, tudah, thanksgiving, praise, thanks, offering, confession. Chapter 33, verse 11. "The voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, Praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endures forever. And all of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, for I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at the first, saith the Lord." At the time this verse is written, they're in captivity. Jeremiah, the prophet, he's in jail. But he's saying, God's mercy endures forever. His mercy endures, and if we will sacrifice praise unto him, he is going to bring us forth. And I've got news for you, and you probably already know it. It's not always easy to praise God, especially if you're sick or if you're in some situation that you just don't know how you're going to get out of. It's not always easy to praise him. But if we will say, "God, I give you praise no matter what's happening here. I give you praise." He accepts our sacrifice of praise, because giving him praise when we don't feel like it can be a sacrifice on our part. We are to offer that sacrifice of praise even when times are bad, when we don't feel like it. When we're sick, you're laying in the hospital and you don't feel well and you feel like death is knocking at your door. But that's okay. Give him a sacrifice of praise. And you know what? You may be getting out of that place on your own two feet. A sacrifice of praise. Now, I want to mention here, we didn't even cover all of the words that are used for sacrifice or offering in the Old Testament. There's a number of them that are used. In the New Testament, it's a Greek word, thosia, which means the act or the victim, literally or figuratively, sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26 says, "For then must he have suffered, often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by sacrifice of himself." This is talking about Jesus having offered himself as the sacrifice for our sin. Hebrews 10:8. Above, when he said, "Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law." Again, he's talking about sacrifice. The sacrifices that used to be offered, we don't have to do that anymore. We don't have to go out there and get a calf and offer it on an altar somewhere and have a priest do whatever for it. We can come to God because Jesus offered himself as the sacrifice for our sins upon the cross of Calvary. And we don't have to go through that anymore. All we have to do is accept it and live for him. And I want to point out one thing. When you accept it, you've got to also live for him. You can't go off and say, okay, well, I said, Jesus, come into my heart. Now I can do what I want to do. That's not the way it works. We got to live for him. Hebrews 10:26, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Jesus is the only sacrifice. He is the only way. I heard this morning, and I didn't catch all of it, but I guess there's a new translation of the Bible coming out, and I don't even know what it's called, but they decided they were going to leave out of this translation so they wouldn't offend a certain religious group. They left out any reference to Jesus being the Son of God. They talk about Jesus, but they do not refer to him as God's Son. Because a certain religion says God has no sons. Caving into the world system. It's going to take sacrifice sometimes to stand up for what is right. It's going to take sacrifice sometimes to stand up and say, God, this is what you said, and I'm going to stand by it. I don't care what. Sacrifice. Men and women of the Bible times endured many things, and some made great sacrifices. For example, Ruth. All remember Ruth? She's one of the well-known female characters of the Bible. In fact, out of Ruth comes the lineage of David, and out of David comes the lineage of Jesus. Ruth, essentially, to be blunt, was a heathen. And her mother-in-law and father-in-law and her husband had moved into her country to escape famine. She married her husband. For those that are familiar with the story, her husband died, her father-in-law died. All the male members of the family died. It's left her, a sister-in-law, and her mother-in-law. Famine's over back home. So the mother-in-law decides, I'm going to go back home. You girls, this is where you grew up. This is where your family is. You stay here. I'm going to go back home. And Ruth, in chapter 1, verses 14, and we're going to read this portion here, 14 through 17, and they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Whether thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Ruth made a commitment here. In fact, I know that some of those words that are in that scripture sound familiar to a lot of people because at least used to, most wedding ceremonies had a portion from that scripture. Whether thou goest, I will go. Your people will be my people. You see, when a couple gets married, they take on the other person's family. They take on their people. And it becomes a bond there. And Ruth is saying, where you're going to go, your people are going to become my people. I'm going to stick with you through thick and thin. You say, okay, but where's the sacrifice? She gave up everything she was used to. She gave up her own family. She gave up all that she knew and said, mother-in-law, where you go, I'm going to go. I'm going to stick with you. It took sacrifice on her part. It took determination. And sometimes we are called upon to make sacrifice, and with that we have to have determination that we're going to stand by that commitment we make. And speaking of wedding vows, you know what? There are a lot of people out there that take those vows off lightly today. Well, they say, well, if it doesn't work out, we can always get a divorce and I can move on to somebody else. That isn't the way God intended it to be. He intended it to be just the way that Ruth spoke it here. Your people are going to be my people. Whether you go, I'll go. Whatever happens, I'm going to be there with you. Jesus looks at us as the bride. We're spoken of, the church, as the bride of Christ. And wherever he goes, we should go. And he's saying, wherever you go, if you follow me, I'm going to be with you through thick and thin. No matter what happens, I'm going to be there for you. And I'm preparing a place for you. She had to make some sacrifice. Sacrifice sometimes can require faith. Oh, faith and sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 11, which is also known as the Heroes of the Faith Hall of Fame, lists many who by faith made various sacrifices. Just for example, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. It goes on and talks, by faith Noah. By faith Noah built that ark. By faith Noah built that boat that nobody had ever seen anything like it before, because a flood was coming that they had never experienced before. And even though people mocked him and called him names and made fun of him, he went by faith and made the sacrifices it took to do what God called him to do. And because of his faith and because of his sacrifice, Noah and his family were saved. He goes on. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after received for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whether he went. Stop to think of it. It'd be like us today, and I know we have all these modern technological marvels that we have today, like GPS and all these things, and supposedly if you got one of those, you can't get lost, you know. And I've learned that some of these maps that come off of the internet and some of this stuff will drive you crazy. But anyway, he didn't have any of this. God simply said, go, and I'll let you know when you get there. God ever said that to you? Sometimes he still does that to folks today. Go, and you'll know when you get there. And you know what? That takes faith. It also takes some sacrifice, because you got to leave everything behind that was comfortable to you. You got to leave behind friends. Sometimes you're leaving behind family. Sometimes you're leaving behind a job. But God said, go, and I'll let you know when you get there. And Abraham went. It took a while, but he got there. Scripture goes on to tell us in another place that Abraham was seeking for a city whose builder and maker was God. And today, we as Christians, we're still seeking that city whose builder and maker is God. And one of these days, we're going to get there. And I got news for you. It's not going to be that far away. It's not awfully long. You say, well, I know when I die, I'm going to heaven. I'm talking about all these things that God promised us, these things he told us about are going to be ours soon and very soon. It's just down the road. The light is at the end of the tunnel, as they say. So Abraham, it goes on and it talks about Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Rahab. Let's talk about Rahab a minute. She didn't even believe in Yahweh God. She'd probably heard about the God of the Hebrews, the God of the Israelites. But that wasn't the God she was following after. But oh, I tell you, when those spies showed up, she said, look, I know that your God is able. And I know that your God is going to take this place. And I want to be on your side. I want to be on your God's side. And because of her faith and her action, she ran the risk of sacrificing her life to help those spies out. If the folks in the city had known what she had done, they would have strung her up, or done something to her anyway. I don't know if they hanged them at that point or not, but they would have done something. But she believed, and she was willing to make the sacrifices it took to see that they got out safely, and they made her a promise and a vow that when they came back and God delivered that city into her hand, she and whoever was in her house would be saved. And when those walls came falling down and there was nothing left but one little section of the wall, we never stop to think about that sometimes, all that big massive wall that was around that city of Jericho fell to the ground. It crumbled, except one section, large enough to hold Rahab's house, was still standing. You got to think about the amazement that had to be upon some people's faces that day when they look and they've seen all this destruction that's taken place, and Rahab's house is safe and sound. She made a sacrifice. But God honored her because of that. And by the way, she also ends up in the lineage of Jesus. Rahab. It goes on to talk about verses 33 through 38. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned into flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in the dens and caves of the earth. They went through some sacrifices, folks. They went through some destitute places. They went through some hard times. But they knew that their God was able to deliver them. And their God did deliver them. Even though this chapter, chapter 11 of Hebrews, is specifically devoted to faith, it shows sacrifice. It shows a lot of sacrifice in there, because we tend to think of sacrifice sometimes as putting that calf up on the altar and putting the fire underneath it and watch that burnt offering being offered as they did in biblical times, and the priest came out and did all of this. But I'll tell you, there's more sacrifice than just offering a calf on the altar. There's more to it than that. And although these folks weren't doing it, they were offering a sacrifice. They were sacrificing things for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those of the early church sacrificed their lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are men and women around the world today, some in countries that are hearing my voice over the internet, that are sacrificing. They are willing to lay down their life for the gospel of Jesus Christ today. And God will accept that sacrifice. God will look down upon them. And by faith, they are doing this. And by faith, someday, we may be doing the same thing. I don't really want to have to do it. Nobody wants to have to do it. But it may come to that point. It may come to the point, if you utter the name of Jesus, that you can be arrested. You know, I just thought about it. I don't know what the Hispanics are going to do, because they've got a lot of people named Jesus, which means Jesus. I guess they'll have to change their names. But that could come, and it could come here in America. There's been something presented to the Department of Justice that we cannot say anything negative or derogatory about a specific religion. But what about us as Christians? They can say whatever they want to say about us. They can criticize Jesus. They can criticize Yahweh God. They can do all of these things. And it's okay. But we can speak not even the truth about this other group. Exodus chapter 12, verse 3. Speak you unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. You know what? It couldn't be just any old lamb. It had to be a special lamb. It goes on in chapter 12, verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. It's got to be a special lamb. And I heard someone talking one time about this, and I don't know that it's specifically in the Bible. I believe it's probably more Jewish tradition, but very well may be true, that this lamb was kept in the house. And they took care of it as they were preparing it. It maybe became a pet almost for their kids. They were treating it like we would treat our beloved pets today. But the day was going to come when that lamb, that loved little animal there, that one that they paid special attention to, was going to be offered as the sacrifice upon the altar. But you know what? We don't have to offer that sacrifice anymore, because Jesus became our sacrifice for sin. Hebrews 10:10 through 12 says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. His sacrifice was once and for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Jesus offered that sacrifice for our sin. We don't have to bring that animal sacrifice any longer. But we still have to bring sacrifices today. Did you stop to think about that? There are sacrifices that we still need to bring today. We may call them offerings sometimes. Let's think about this. Earlier we read in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 11, where it speaks of the sacrifice of praise. But you know that's repeated in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. I was talking earlier, sometimes it's not easy to offer that sacrifice of praise. But we're to offer that sacrifice of praise even when we don't feel like it. That means sometimes getting up and going to church when we don't feel like it. Sometimes that can mean a lot of other things. Sometimes it can mean our time, that we've got to give up some of our time to do something. It's our sacrifice of praise to God to show that we're willing to do whatever we've got to do. Sometimes it's even our money that we've got to give to God to show our sacrifice of praise to him. Sometimes it's going out of our way to speak to someone or do something, as we call it sometimes, as people like to call it, a random act of kindness that we've got to do. That's the sacrifice that we make. Sometimes it may be as you walk into McDonald's and you find some hungry person standing there, and I'm not saying giving them a hand out of put a $5 bill in their hand, but take them in there and buy them that McDouble or whatever. If they're hungry, they'll take it. Sometimes it's doing something like that. And I know we live in a world today where there's a lot of con artists out there and a lot of people out to try to separate you from your money. But let God lead you and guide you as He leads you to that place where you do that sacrifice of praise and you do what God speaks to your heart to do. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 4. And we've heard many people debate why God honored Abel's sacrifice or offering and not Cain's. And usually it revolves around, well, Abel's was an animal sacrifice and Cain brought veggies. Well, here's what the Matthew Henry Concise Concordance says. The offering of Cain and Abel was different. Cain showed a proud, unbelieving heart. Therefore, he and his offering were rejected. Abel came as a sinner and according to God's appointment, but his sacrifice expressed humility, sincerity, and believing obedience. Thus, seeking the benefit of the new covenant of mercy through the promised seed. You know, all of these things that took place in the Old Testament were looking forward to that day that Jesus hung on that cross. In some cases, almost 4,000 years later. But they were looking forward to that day that he hung on the cross and he offered himself as the sacrifice for sin once and for all. So Abel looked forward here to that sacrifice. Abel offered in faith and Cain did not. Because it's interesting if you go on to look here. First of all, we're being told here it was not his sacrifice, it was his attitude. It was his attitude. In fact, if you read in Leviticus where it talks about the various types of sacrifices, and there are a number of types of sacrifices or offerings that were to be given throughout the year, and as the our Jewish friends and our Messianic Jewish believers are going through this period of time when many of these high holidays are being celebrated and sacrifices are being made and whatever, and they're giving the meaning of all of this and so on, we find out, though, as we're reading about some of these sacrifices and offerings, some of them included what? Grain, or you could might say veggies. So it wasn't the fact that he offered fruit. It was his attitude and his offering. And that's a whole lot to do with today. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people that are populating church pews today that they are not coming before God with the right attitude. They come before God with an attitude of pride. Look who I am. There's some preachers out there today that are preaching behind the pulpits to thousands and thousands of people that are saying, look who I am. They're going to get a surprise someday. Unfortunately, and I'm sorry to say this, unfortunately for some, when they stand before God, he may say, I don't know who you are. And that's sad to think about. But if we come before God, that humility, come seeking God, God, I am not worthy. I can only be here because of what you have done. All because of you. All because of what happened at Calvary can I be here. God accepts that. Because we are never going to be ever worthy enough. It's only through Him that we'll be able to stand there someday. What sacrifice are you bringing? Romans chapter 12 verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I want to read that to you one more time in the complete Jewish Bible. I exhort you therefore, brothers, in view of God's mercies, to offer yourselves as a sacrifice. Offer yourselves as an offering, living and set apart for God. This will please Him. It is the logical temple worship for you. Presenting ourselves to God and saying, God, here I am. I offer my life to you. Use me as you would see fit. That is the sacrifice God is looking for. You know, there's a time and a season called Lent. And during this time, folks give up certain things, and they say, well, it's 40 days from Ash Wednesday to Easter, and people will give up certain things. I'm going to sacrifice this for Lent. And some of them say, you know, and I'm going to give you an example. It's kind of ridiculous, but it makes my point. For Lent, I'm going to give up chocolate ice cream. Is that really a sacrifice? Sometimes we want our sacrifice to be so petty and so illogical. But God says, offer yourself. And if we offer ourselves, God, here I am. Take me. Use me. Mold me. Make me. You're the potter. I'm the clay. And when we say that to God, that's music to His ears. That's what He's waiting to hear from us. You're just saying, here I am, here I am. And leave the rest up to Him. Just follow His directions then as He leads you. And maybe you're listening to me today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior yet. But you do know one thing, that you know within your heart and within your spirit that there is something that's lacking, that there's something you're longing for. I want to tell you today, that feeling you've got, that lacking, that longing, it's for Jesus Christ. It's for that home in heaven that's been prepared for you. And today, you can make all of that possible by simply, in faith, believing. What is faith? Faith is trust. It's believing in. By belief in God, by faith in God, you can say, Jesus, I maybe don't even know a whole lot about this, but right now I've heard this word and I want to ask you to come into my heart. I want to offer myself as a sacrifice of praise unto you. And I want to accept the sacrifice that you made for me on the cross of Calvary. Come into my heart today. Come into my life. And help me to be what you want me to be. I thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer today and you've asked Jesus to come into your heart and you've did it in all sincerity, right now I'm going to believe that He is going to speak to your heart. He's going to put someone into your pathway that's going to give you guidance, that's going to give you leadership. Through the Holy Spirit, if need be, that may be the only thing that He does, because I've known folks that through the Holy Spirit, they knew no one else that was a Christian. He can do that to you. He can lead you and guide you. He can do something special for you today. If you'd like, you can write to us, you can email us. Go to the website, www.tlhf.org. All the information is there. Father, right now, as there may be those, and Father, I'm believing today that there'll be those who hear this message that will accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They will offer themselves as that sacrifice unto God, and Jesus accepting the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross of Calvary. Father, today, I ask that you would do these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.